You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day and another week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm talking to Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. And I can just hear you rustling in the background there, Nick, because you're working from home at the moment. I heard a cork popping, that beautiful noise.
The clink of ice.
Yeah, that exactly. So you're having a soothing libation, which is fantastic.
You know what I think?
I felt, just before you go on, I didn't feel sorry for you, but I felt for you, because last night you said you hadn't slept on a couple of occasions this week, and also you wanted just to take today off and maybe take the family away for a couple of nights, and you couldn't do so because of the insecurity of supply of petrol and that sort of thing. And I thought, if this is being replicated throughout the whole country of South Africa in at different levels, whether it be the poorest or the richest, then that's another unintended consequence of what you've been through. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so yes, I decided to pour myself a glass of wine after a long week. But yeah, look, let me reiterate, I'm not exactly sitting in a shack like the poor of the poor and who've been so unfortunate and who have been left with nothing. I mean, that the gentleman who the couple of security guards who've been involved with looking after our complex, the one chap, we got an SMS this morning from the group of the complex that his house had been looted and he'd been left with a shirt on his back. So we all chipped in to help out. So let me reiterate, I don't have it that bad. I mean, I'm very fortunate to sit in a nice house and with my family and that. But nevertheless, I think the mental strain I think people have had also this week and the stress has been, it's been a horrible week. Horrible week to be a South African, horrible week to try and dissect what actually transpired. And I think in the months to come, we'll actually know, hopefully we'll find out what really happened. I think a lot of people are grappling, Lindsay, are the answers. They've got questions and there's no answers. And people are trying to figure out, like, what just happened over the last 7 days.
Somebody knows.
Someone knows, and if they do know, they're not telling us. There's still very little news flow coming out. Then on top of that, of course, with the pandemic, I mean, before all of this, the third wave, and certainly in Gauteng, where I'm sitting, was terrible. I mean, I've got friends and colleagues that are in hospital. So that was the start of it. Then we got knocked with this absolute anarchy for a week as well. But yes, I'm going to have a well-deserved rest this weekend, dust myself off, and see what next week brings.
Yes, indeed. Let's have a look at the Stock Exchange News Service. And have a look at AECI. They've come out with a trading update for Sheeny, obviously, because it's a retailer and has been affected. Petcor, they're all coming out. But the share price, Massmart update regarding civil unrest in South Africa. So I'm very glad they're communicating, because that does soothe the market. I mean, maybe if the president could take a hint from these companies and communicate a little bit more. He should be on every single day saying we're doing this and we're doing that, but he's not. Yeah. And when he does, it's pretty limp-wristed, I must say. But anyway, the South Africa Inc. is doing well. 91 has come out with an assets under management update. And Richemont came out this morning with its strong trading for the first quarter. Yeah, but the share price down 2.4%. But anyway, really good set of numbers.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, my first glance when I look at the numbers, I was like, yo, that is a really good set of numbers. And then my clever friends in Cape Town sort of said, yes, they are great. But I mean, the stock is the most expensive on any single metrics in history. Price to earnings, price to book, price to sales, price to whatever metrics you want to look at. So they're the number crunchers. They just said value-wise, it is so expensive. But, I mean, they are still producing the goods. I mean, the stock was 110 Rand. In fact, I think it was close to 100 bucks before the pandemic. Mm. And now it's sitting up, it was sold off a bit today, as you said, Lindsay, but still 174 Rand a share. good numbers. But I had a call from an overseas news agency, actually, who asked me for commentary on what's going on and what do you think the worst is over. And, of course, I said I can't exactly dust off my crystal ball. Mm. But, I mean, if we look at it, and you'll touch on it in a second, but if you look at what the Rand has done, you look at what the 10-year note in South Africa done, where I think a lot of the money flow, the real money sort of goes, you'd have to say that there is a definite sense of calm that has come back to the SA market, and you'll touch on it in a second, I'm sure. And if you look at some of these counters, what they've done this week as well, there's definitely. And I received quite a few orders on my shopping list from clients saying, I want to buy this, I want to buy this, I want to buy this, which was quite encouraging, actually. It was a far more sort of more positive and soothing end to the week than it was on the Monday.
Okay, I will temper your enthusiasm by giving you something that came from Intellidex in London, and I interviewed Peter Assad-Montalto from Intellidex earlier on.
He's brilliant. I rate him very highly. Yeah.
I do too, and so listen to the interview. It will be up in about the next 10-15 minutes. Okay, he says, we think investors don't really get the scale of what has happened. The numbers below should start to hit home and have been collected from credible industry sources. Okay, national retail, 5 billion rand cost. 800 non-shopping centre shops looted, 100 stores burnt out, 200 shopping centres looted, and the majority destroyed. In the Durban Economic Zone, 1.5 billion rands worth of stock lost, 15 billion damage to property, 50,000 informal traders affected. They've got no insurance. 40,000 businesses affected, 150,000 jobs at risk, 1.5 million at homes without incomes. Durban GDP impact, 20 billion. I think that's conservative. So when you look at those numbers, you say to yourself, okay, maybe the worst is over, but the worst is yet to come. The insidious worst is yet to come, because you've got to clear this mess up.
It's such a difficult thing, Lindsay. I mean, it's probably a lot easier if I was sitting with someone like Intellidex, where they're sitting in London looking in. There's a completely unemotional, number-crunching view of the market. And when you actually sent me that note a day or two ago, and I sent it to a mate of mine, and my headline on was that this was an unemotional, factual view of where we are. And I think sometimes you have to do it, because my emotional side is saying, things are going to get better, and everything's going to be wonderful, and we all live in a wonderful place, and everyone's holding hands. You've seen images of sort of the different race groups sort of holding hands around the shopping centres. But as your job is to manage money and to manage funds, and if you actually look at the numbers, I think something like KZN, I mean, that's almost uninvestable for the next few months. I mean, I cannot fathom how someone's going to invest money from a foreign point of view, anyway, from foreign direct investment, into the second largest economy or economic hub in South Africa. That's not going to happen. So, I mean, if you had to be realistic, sure, we've got these numbers are quite frightening, and it's going to be expensive to rebuild. And as we all know with the pandemic already, the South Africa's finances are very stretched. So where the money comes from, I'm not sure.
No, I'm not. But I know where the numbers are coming from. They're coming from me right now, because the dollar rand is 14.41, which is a good performance. It has really stabilized quite nicely ahead of the weekend. The British pound against the rand is 19.87. It was above 20, of course, in the last few days. The euro rand is 17.02. The euro dollar is 118.11. A slightly stronger US dollar. British pound against the dollar, just below 138. Let's have a look at the gold price. Where is it?
No, don't look at the gold price.
No, it's only down 11. It's $18.12 an ounce, down 0.6%. Don't worry about that.
Don't look at the rest.
Okay, well, the platinum price, yeah, that's not so great. 2.3% weaker, 11.06. And palladium is, oh, goodness me, palladium looks horrible. You tell us the bad news, please.
Yeah, 3.25% down. $89 is the big number, 2,640. I must just add on, down 3% yesterday too. So that's 6.5% in 2 days.
That'll bounce back. West Texas crude oil, that is, down 0.8% to $71.09 a barrel. Brent crude oil, $72.90 per barrel, also down 0.8%. The CRB commodity index, once it's reconstituted, will be much weaker on Monday. So we won't get onto that now. now. US 10-year yield. Look at this thing. Let's call it 1.32%. And
crazy.
Bitcoin. Do we really care about Bitcoin? Well, we have to put it out there because some people are still silly enough to play in it. 31,828, which is barely changed on the day. How many times have we been able to say that this year? Not many. Mm. The S&P futures, after a little bit of a sell-off last night across the major indices in the US, again, a little bit of sogginess, but nothing to get concerned about. S&P down around about 0.3%. Otherwise, today, Nick, what else happened? Because if you look back at the week, you can say it's been an inflation week, but inflation isn't a problem anymore.
No, and in fact, one of my colleagues pointed out to me this morning that the tips and the sort of inflation-linked bonds, and if you look at where real yields are, we're now sitting at 1.1% negative real yields. I can't even get my head around the fact that, that's, and certainly given the second month in a row with a record jump in CPI inflation, record inflation numbers in the UK, it's battling to make sense for but anyway, it is what it is. Markets seem to be dealing with the rhetoric that the Jay Powell, the last 2 days of testimony, Wednesday and Thursday, both talking about, continuing to talk about on both days, about this transitory inflation, even though it's 2 months now where we've hit record levels. And I just saw a headline crossing now, S&P 500 Real Estate Index, a new all-time high. In fact, housing prices continue to hit new records every day. So I'm starting to get more and more sort of feedback from the clever people in the market who are saying, like, guys, this is, the Fed at some point's got to take their foot off the accelerator here. You're causing a problem. But for now, Mr. Jay Powell seems to be content to just keep the printing press going.
It's only July the 16th. Wait until the end of the year. I'm still confident on my bet with David Shapiro.
You'll be sitting with me in Mara's Arch by December.
Tell you what, with a glass of Pecan Stream Sauvignon Blanc, with a couple of cubes of ice clinking in your beautiful crystal glass. Right, that's a dream. Okay, top five major movers on the JSE today. Massmart, the retailer, up 2.75%. Redefine, the property company, up 2.3%. Netcare, health company, hospital company, up 1.8%. Vukile, property, up 1.25%. And ShopRite, retail, up 1.2%. On the downside, it's all diggers apart from one Polish property company. Impala Platinum down 5.2%. Glencore down nearly 5%. Northern Platinum nearly 5% weaker as well. EPP, that's a property company, down nearly 5%. And Anglo American PLC down 4.6%. Any shares outside of those bigger ones, any smaller companies? Nick, you were talking about Steinhoff yesterday. Has it continued its slide?
No. So funny you mentioned that, actually, because we've had an 18-cent bounce, but being a penny share, that equates to 11% up move. Top of my JSE All Share leaderboard, 11.39% up. Some interesting moves. I think at the start of the week, obviously the property sector got smashed when those images were hitting our screens. But a little bit of bottom picking. I've got Arrowhead Properties up 2.95% today. Redefine up 2.3%. City Lodge is at a good run, funny enough. I think I like to see the numbers. I think it's probably up about 10% on the week, actually. It might be more to do with the fact that, we're basically reopening to leisure and that sort of stuff on Sunday's speech. And then Grindrod almost back at R5. It's a high for the year almost, up 1.5% today. I saw a note on shipping rates. Shipping rates now hit a multi-decade high. The cost of shipping your goods from Beijing around the world. To put it in perspective, Lindsay, that Cape span, the mid-cap rate, was round about $700 a year ago. What do you think it is today?
Probably 5,000.
Try 11.
That's quite a move. I mean, obviously, off an incredibly low base, but it's still
low base.
It's still off almost back the all-time record highs, though, Nick. If you look,
it is off the all-time highs. No, you're entirely right. I mean, put it in context, as you said, it's easy to get excited when you see, but if you understand, as you said, Lindsay, the really low base they've come off. But nevertheless, I mean, once again, is it tying into that inflation, that reflation trade. Mm. Your cost of moving goods is up, you know, tenfold in 12 months. You know, at some point, does it get passed on to consumers?
It has to be passed on. I mean, the margins are fine in certain of the industries that are shipping goods via containers. So eventually they're going to have to say, I'm sorry, it was $10 an item. It's now $11.50 or something like that. It has to happen.
No, it does.
Okay. Give me the just before you give me the numbers, by the way. I mean, you've got your problems in South Africa. I don't know if you've been noticing, as a man with German ancestry, what's been going on.
Yes, the floods. Goodness me.
It's unbelievable. Biblical. And it's exactly the word I was going to employ. Biblical. There's this weather system that just keeps going round in a circle, and it just stays on the same areas. I was watching a Dutch TV program about an hour ago, and they said they had 9 hours in Germany. They had 9 hours of solid rain, and they've had 3 months worth of rain in a day. And it's just 125 people dead and hundreds missing. This is a catastrophe.
That's a catastrophe. But I mean, you know, if you're part of the sort of the flat earth society and the, you know, the anti-climate, I don't know, the sort of global warming people, I mean, look at these sort of figures that are coming across your screen. I mean, you don't get things like this happening. It shouldn't be happening. It's, you know, we are a wonderful sort of race, the humans, but that's definitely evidence that the earth is sick.
Yes, it is. I hate humans. Anyway, give us the JSE indices on this final day of a tumultuous week, if you would, plus the live Wall Street numbers.
Goodness me, Lindsay. I can't actually believe we made it through this week. But anyway, let's start with New York, with Wall Street. So we've got the S&P 500 is now sitting on the low of the session, actually. 4339, it's down 0.3%. We have the Dow Jones Industrial also sitting down exactly 0.33% as well. And the NASDAQ, funny enough, 0.32% as well. So all roughly down exactly the same. It's actually been a while since you've seen that. We've had the reflation trade, and we've had the sort of the growth versus value, and NASDAQ up and down, down. But today, all down off the back of that VIX Volatility Index, which is up 2%, back over 17%. Closer to home, we have the JSE All Share has finished off a really volatile week. But I'm just bringing up my graph. Let's see what on the last 5 days. So on the week, no, we're comfortably down. On the week, JSE All Share, we finished down 1.5%, 66,529. I'll make that down about 500 points on the week. So we did finish the week down, which quite frankly is not a bad going considering the scenes that have crossed our screen. Yes. Top 40 companies index, fared a bit worse, down 1,000 points today, 1.63%, 60,437. And a couple in the green, technology shares up 0.28%. Our friends at Nasdaq and Prosus, again, I think 5 days in a row they've had on the uptrot.
Yeah.
But led low on the downside. Real estate down 0.5%, financials down 0.51%, utilities down 0.53%, consumer cyclicals at 1.8%, loser industrials had a bad day, down 1.92%, and energy shares down 4.89%. I mean, look at Sasol. I think Sasol's also had a bit of a torrid week by the looks of things.
Yeah, it was 7.75% down on Wednesday. Mm. Yesterday, I think it was down another 5% or something. Yeah, it's been hit
7%
hard.
Down yesterday, 7% yesterday, and 2% today. Anyway, and to summarize, value traded today, oh, it's a bit anemic, back under 20, Lindsay, 19.103 billion value traded.
Still not bad on a Friday when everyone's a little bit fed up and a lot of people have done what you couldn't do, and that is go away. Nick Kunze is from Sandon Private Wealth. That was the 5 o'clock shadow, and Nick will be back with me on Monday night for the same program. Nick is from Sandon Private Wealth. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.